with you until that happened. Now I'm falling apart here. Well, I want to introduce you to our oldest granddaughter, actually our oldest grandchild too. This is Jonathan's oldest, and Jonathan was about 2 years old when we came into Living Waters, when we came into Leroy. And so Jasmine has accompanied me today to come up. Deb was not able to come. She's not feeling too well right now. And so Jasmine, she agreed to share a testimony with you. So I'm going to ask her to go ahead for that, and I'll stay up here with you, okay?
Just warning you guys, I'm pretty nervous, so if I start stuttering, just bear with me. My name is Jasmine Miller. I am 17 years old. I am actually homeschooled. My mom has homeschooled me my whole life. I am a senior in high school, and I have 4 siblings. Normally, when I'm in a good mood, I like to help people, and I like to be there for people. I love to help them with their problems and give them peace. My goal in life has always been to be the person that I've been created to be, and up until now, I've been, you know, trying to figure it out, and I'm still trying to figure it out as I'm going into college. But I have to say that my testimony really is just how I came to where I am. I've never had a very horrible life. My parents are still together, and my family is loving, and I have great friends. But when I was 8 years old, my grandfather passed away, and bear me, I might cry. He passed away, and I got very depressed, and I was... I blamed God and everything. I was very angry, and I held a lot of hatred and anger in my heart for many years until I was about 15 or 16. My heart was completely closed. I didn't like to pray. I didn't believe in prayer. I didn't like to read the Bible. I didn't. I went to church to see my friends, as I hate to admit it. I didn't really know how to get out of the rut. I was kind of just in there, and I didn't know how to stop being depressed. I didn't know how to just move forward and accept that he had passed away no matter how much I had prayed. And, you know, I'd literally try to debate with God and told him that if you do that, if you keep him alive, I will do this, and I'll do this, and I'll do this for you. And it didn't happen, but I think it was, in a way, it was good. It was a growing experience for me. I don't know how many of you guys know, but my church, Friends of the Cross, we do a camp yearly. I think we've done it for 8 years, something like that. And this year I was honored to be helping to assist direct the camp. As assistant director with another young girl, I got to see the staff, I got to see the kids, and I got to see them in action. I got to see the overall picture instead of just a little piece of it as a counselor. Although I did get to take over a group, which was fun. What I started to notice was that each staff was in a different place in their life. We had young and older staff, I think. Our youngest staff was 14, I believe. Our oldest was... I don't even know, 65 or something, I don't know, but we all had different roles in our camp. Some were counselors, some were assistant staff, counselors, assistant counselors. We had kitchen servants, we had floaters, we had people everywhere doing everything possible you could imagine, although there were still, you know, their hiccups as always. But what I noticed was that each person was at a different level in their life, and each person was either had an open heart or a closed heart. And those with a closed heart, they could still touch the kids, but not at a level that the open-hearted could. And I have always been one to, I like to, you know, touch people. I like to open up their hearts. And I realized that I was one of those people with a closed heart. And as much as I was fun and joyous and I liked to play with the kids and have fun, I wasn't touching them the way that God wanted me to touch them. And my heart kind of just broke, because that's not who I wanted. I want to be able to touch kids in a deeper level. And so by the second day, there were 4 days, by the second day, evening chapel, I kind of just opened my heart and let what the pastor was saying just kind of touch me. I let the worship kind of take me over. You can ask my one friend who was there. I was crying like a little baby every night, crying. And I hate to cry. So, but it kind of, that allowing myself to cry and accept who I am and accept that there's going to be troubles in life, I kind of, my heart just opened and I saw these kids on a different level. I saw their pain. I also saw their happiness and I saw their joy. And I felt in a way how God feels towards these kids, how he loves on them. He says, let the little children come. And how we have to be like kids to, you know, enter the kingdom of heaven. And so I left camp. I was new and I was open. And I think it was a couple weeks later, a man named Andrew Eastman came to our church. I don't know if any of you guys know him. He has the gift of prophecy. And he comes once a year. For the last 3 years he came, I didn't go up to get prophesied over because I was in my little depression mood thing. And so I decided to go up this year. And what he told me completely changed everything. He said, I have a joy unparalleled to anyone he has ever seen, and that my smile was welcoming, and that I was willing to help, and that my joy was refreshing. I realized that just being a smiling face can completely change someone's mood, completely change their life. And I realized in a way that that was who I was made to be. That was that I had the joy that my grandfather had. I realized that I was able to lift people up when they were down and bring a smile to their face when all they saw was darkness. But it isn't something that I cultivated by myself. It is something that God gave me. It is a God-given gift to give him glory, and I wasn't using that joy to give him glory. It is my purpose to be his and do what he has made me to do. And I believe that my joy is where my truest potential will shine through. I really realized that joy is something we try to achieve day after day, month after month, and year after year. Unfortunately, our current generation thinks that joy comes from accomplishing things. It doesn't. Joy gives us an opportunity to begin every day new and with a refreshed mind, soul, and spirit. Joy comes from the heart, and it comes from the mind, and it comes from Jesus. Joy is much bigger than happiness. Joy is the laughter in the deepest part of our belly. Joy is the love we feel when someone we love holds us. Joy is the feeling that reaches out to all and speaks to even the darkest of souls. Joy enables rather than embitters. Joy brings people together even when they are apart. Joy is the essence of who we are. But joy doesn't suddenly arise and make an appearance. Joy is something that needs to be worked at. Through the suffering and trials of life, we find joy. When we remember that we're not alone in our discomfort, that we are 1 in 7 billion people, our loneliness dissipates, and in its place we can put joy. When we have this joy instead of bitterness, we can look at tragedy from all sides, angles, and directions, and see opportunities rather than downfalls. It is the constant self-centered thinking that brings people to misery. Because of this, helping others and shifting our focus onto someone else's pain will lessen our own and in turn bring true joy. Joy isn't just smiling and being happy around others. Joy is being able to laugh in the rain and have fun in the storm. Joy is lifting others even when you are down. Joy brings healing, comfort, happiness, and pleasure. It is satisfaction that we are doing something bigger than ourselves. Joy gives us a sense of fulfillment. Through joy, we are more compassionate, loving, and affectionate. Through joy, we can bring people together in ways nothing else can. Through my week at camp and after Andrew Eastman spoke to me, my heart was changed. I realized I don't need to keep searching for my true calling in life. I already know what it is, to be a light to others and fill them with joy. Of course, there are many ways to do that, but the turmoil in my heart has dissipated, and now I can truly be grateful for the abilities God has bestowed upon me. I am new and improved, and I'll keep working to bring God's pleasure, be God's pleasure, and to be who he made me to be, and I believe that that is all our calling. Thank you.
I'm going to ask Jasmine to just pray for anybody here that maybe you just have a heaviness about your life right now. And I'm going to ask her to just pray for you to be released from that heaviness, to be released from that depression, if that's somebody that is here right now. And you might want to just take a step of faith and just stand up and admit, hey, you know, that's where I'm at right now. And we're just going to take a moment and pray. She's going to pray for you. And we're going to believe that the Lord's going to release a fresh expression of joy in your life. Just bring the oil of joy upon your head for a spirit of heaviness. Okay? Go ahead, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus, for this day. Thank you for all these people here in this building. Thank you for their heart to serve and their heart to love. And for their constant pursuit of you. And I ask that for those who are depressed and down in the dumps, or those who maybe think they're going into it or just coming out of it, I ask that you help them, lift them up, cover them with your wings, show them that you're there and that you love them, and that they're not alone as much as they may think so. I ask for you to help them open their hearts up to you and to those around them and ask for help, because depression definitely isn't fun alone, and keeping it to yourself definitely sucks. So I ask you help them just open their hearts and hear what you have to say, even if it's from a song, if it's from a smile, if it's from just a car driving past, that they would see you and they see your glory. I ask that they go outside and they see all the beautiful colors outside and see the beauty that you have created, and then they can look at themselves and see the beauty that they have created and stop being so critical about themselves and the situations around them, because the situations that we go through can be pretty bad, and sometimes it's hard to see the silver lining. But I ask that you would help them to see that silver lining and move forward and be who you made them to be. In the name of Jesus, amen.
Amen. Thanks, Jasmine. Amen. Well, she brings a lot of joy in our family. She helps me quite a bit, too. She's a very strong young lady, and she actually helps me with beekeeping. I'm a beekeeper. And so she's very courageous. She does all kinds of stuff with me. And I'm going to turn you to John chapter 12. John chapter 12. For a few minutes, what I'd like to do is go into a couple foundational stones that were established here when we first got involved with planting this church. And these two stones were foundational truths that the Lord gave me as I came here. And 1984, Jonathan, I think, was about 3 years old, and Naomi was about a year and a half. And so I began to pray and walk around in this town, and one of the first things that the Lord spoke to me about was, he said, I've sent you here to die. And in the beginning, I thought physically die, and then as I began to, you know, spend time in the scriptures, he led me into this passage in John chapter 12. And so we'll begin there. And here's verse 23, one of the foundational truths, foundational stones that began this work. And Jesus answered them, saying, "The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Truly, truly, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains by itself alone. But if it dies, it bears much fruit." So one of the things that I began to discover that when we were in this town, that the Lord was just making it clear to me. He says, if you want to be here by yourself, then live. But if you want a lot of people around you, if you want to see a church birth, then die. And so I began to embrace this truth about death. And it was kind of a ongoing walk with the Lord, Deb and I. And then it says, he who loves his life loses it. And he who hates his life in this world shall keep it to life eternal. If anyone serves me, let him follow me. And where I am, there shall my servant also be. If anyone serves me, the Father will honor him. And so I began to understand the way of walking with the Lord is the crucified life. And as we were worshiping the Lord, you know, usually when you sing anything about the Lamb on the throne or the cross and so on, there's like this excitement that gets inside you, welling up, resonating in your spirit. And I believe one of the reasons why that happens is that all of us start from the same place. If you're a Christian here today, all of us start from the same place. We all start at the cross. That's where we all start at. Whether you're from China or you're South Africa or you're from the United States or Canada or anywhere else, all the redeemed start from the same place. If you're not a Christian here today, the way it starts is this. You start at the cross. You recognize he died for you. Once you embrace his death for you, then something begins to happen where you, as you put your faith in Jesus, life begins to well up in you, and you want to serve him. You want to walk with him because you have met the person who died for you. And everybody meets that person. His name is Jesus Christ, and he came from heaven, and he came here for one purpose, and that is to die for you and to die for me. He tasted my death. He tasted yours. And then once you begin to embrace that, then you embrace the same truth of being a corn of wheat and dying so that you can live. His life flows through you. And another thing I realized about death is this, is that once you become part of a church like this church here, the way you fit in, if you're somebody here that's maybe new or maybe you're just trying to find your way, how do I fit into this church? This is something new to me. The only way you fit into a church is through the cross. You can't fit any other way. Some people try to fit in through their talents. They try to fit into their intelligence. They try to fit into their experience. They try to fit into, you know, all their personality and so on. Oh, if I can just, you know, work my way in here and you, maybe you think you're going to fit in by being a friendly person. Well, those things are, you know, okay. They're secondary. But the way you really fit into something that's spiritual, something that's eternal, something that started at the cross is you fit in through the cross. That's how you fit in. And the more you submit to the way of the cross, the more your character, your personality gets, I call, tuned, and you're conformed. And then the Spirit of God just fits you into this eternal work called the Church of Jesus Christ. Because the church is not an institution. It's not an organization. It's a living organism. It's living. It's got mystery to it. And most of what, you know, that I've been working through in my own walk with the Lord about the church is it's got so much mystery to it that the only way that you can continue to understand it is through the cross and walking with him. So that's the first foundational truth. The second one is, would you go to John chapter 7? And this is one of the ways the church got its name. When I was first here, I had no idea what I was doing. I just, you know, I was a graduate of Bible school and then trained under a man. And when you're younger, you got all these things. You figure out what you're going to be doing. And once I got into Leroy, I had no idea what I was doing. And I didn't know anybody in the town. And so, you know, I remember one day I was asking the Lord, well, when this turns into a church, what kind of a name is it going to be? And I had a lot of crazy names because of my background. And I do have a little crazy part of me that likes to put names to things. And like Jasmine, her name in the family, just in the context of the family, we call her Deer Slayer. Because she hunts with me, and she's shot a deer already, and we got a, you know, I hope that didn't offend you and you, but that's just a family nickname. I'm a person of nicknames, and, you know, all my grandchildren have nicknames. And sometimes I change them by the year, by the way they behave, you know. Like my youngest is called Quiet One, and well, about a, maybe 6 months ago, the rest of the kids said, stop calling him Quiet One. He's the loudest of the four of us. And so now I call him Bushwhacker. And so, you know, there's a part of me, I just get a little crazy with things. And so I said, Lord, what do you want to do with this name? And he directed me to this, and this is the second foundational truth, John chapter 7, verse 37. It says, now, on the last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried out, saying, if any man is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. I was about a year into being here in Leroy. It was around 1984-85, and I was invited to a businessman, a Christian businessman meeting in Batavia. They were very popular back in those days. I don't have the proper name to that, but it's some type of a Christian businessman movement that was going on. And there was this guy named Sherm Horton. And Sherm Horton was an insurance agent that he met me at this businessman meeting. And I was new in the area. I didn't know anybody. But they invited me to go to this thing. And Sherm Horton was a very vibrant, you know, just a real charismatic kind of guy. And he found out I was in Leroy. And he gets over there and gives me a big hug. And I'm shaking my hand, you know. And so what happened was, at the time, Deb and I were just living on very little here. And we came in as missionaries, and we were walking by faith. And so nobody really knew what was going on. We didn't tell anybody. But Sherm Horton comes up to me, and he goes, I am so excited that you are in Leroy, and you're planting a church there. And all of a sudden, as he's saying that, a couple guys got around me, and they put hands on me. And they started prophesying over me. The Spirit of God came over me, and I'm just like, it was very powerful. And all of a sudden, one of the people, it wasn't Sherm, but one of the guys was prophesying. He said, I see you taking a pitcher and dipping it into this fountain of waters, and you're giving these people drinks. And you keep giving them, you and your wife, or keep giving them drinks of water, and you're quenching their thirst, and they're drinking, and as they're drinking, the water just keeps flowing more and more, you know. And then at the end, Sherm Horton says, oh, I'm so excited about you being in Leroy. I'm going to take care of your insurance policy for 3 years. So he paid for our car insurance for 3 years, and it went into 5 years. And God just provided things like that. He took care of our, every year I get the bill. He says, oh, it's already taken care of. I took care of that for you. How's the church going? And then one day the Lord spoke to me and he said, you're going to call it the Church of Living Waters. He says, out of your belly is going to flow rivers of living water. It says here, verse 38, from his innermost being shall flow rivers of living water. And I want to encourage you this morning that you be a person that out of you flows rivers of living water. It's rivers, meaning it's different streams of water that can flow out of you. So there is diversity of waters that can be in you, but they're all living. Whatever comes out of you, make it a goal in your life that whatever comes out of your mouth, whatever comes out of your life, is living waters. It's living waters. Which means don't allow your life to be stagnant, okay? Don't have any swamp water in your life. Swamp water is water that stays in one place. You don't have any kind of water that's like mud puddle water. You don't want anything staying in one place inside you. You have to really be intentional with that. Lord, please keep all the waters moving inside me. One of the struggles in our Christian life is after you've been walking with the Lord for a while, your waters get stagnant. They stay in one place. You don't want anything like that because what happens when the water starts moving, it collects bacteria, not good bacteria. I live in a river, and when the river starts getting to a certain level, it gets kind of shallow. It looks like the river's hardly moving, and when it's hardly moving, all this algae begins to collect on the river and starts smelling. You don't even want to go on the river. And so living waters, the more you keep water moving inside your life, the more fresh it is, and it has a real good fragrance to it. And it's one of my determined efforts in my spiritual life is, please, Lord, don't let me ever turn into a swamp. Isn't it an interesting term that's being used in the political scene sometimes? Going to drain the swamp. Well, I really think that some of us sometimes need to have our swamps drained too. Amen? But you got to go for it. No mud puddles, no swamps, nothing like that. And allow that foundational truth, allow that to be established in your personal life. And I could sense fresh water here. Yeah, let your worship be fresh. Don't do the same thing all the time in your worship. Don't even sit in the same chair all the time. You know, we have at Friends of the Cross, we have some people that were there before I was there. So I've been there 17 years. And we have people that, this is kind of funny that goes on here. We have people that sit right behind me. And they've been sitting right behind me like for years. Right there. Well, one day about a year and a half ago, some visitors came. And they were searching, hungry, thirsty, you know, and been away from the Lord for a while. And they saw where I sat. They could figure out I was probably the pastor. So they sat right behind me. And they sat right in the seats of the people that usually sit there. But what was kind of funny is they got there early. And the other people got there late. You know, and I just try to encourage our people sometimes. Would you kind of get here on time? But it was kind of funny because how those things work, you know, in churches. Well, the people that got there early sat in those seats, and then they came in and go, man, what am I going to do? What am I going to do? They're sitting in my seats. And it was kind of funny because some of the other people that were friends with them go, I couldn't believe it. Somebody took their seats. You know. Yeah. So don't even sit in the same place once in a while. It's amazing. Shift around. And don't worship the same way all the time. When the next time a song gets up and you're supposed to be, your hands are supposed to be up and you got your hands in your pockets, get them out of your pockets and try something different. Try dancing once in a while. Try kicking it once in a while. Try do something to get motion in your life that you'd be surprised what you do physical, what can release spiritual. I do that. I mean, I just simply, I'll do things by myself. If I feel like sometimes in my office, I'll walk in and I feel like maybe my head's gotten too big for the week, or I'm dealing with some kind of pride issue, the first thing I do is I walk in my office, drop to my knees. I get the physical condition going first. Drop, knock off some push-ups, say, Lord, I need your humility. So, out of your innermost being shall flow rivers of living water. Be determined to be a person where living waters are coming out of your life. Would you take a moment, put one of your hands over this area of your life. It says, out of your innermost, this is your innermost right here. I want to just pray for you for a moment. Father, I know right back from the very beginning in the 80s, you spoke to me about living waters, and that it would be a foundation of truth in this work, and it would be even to the name of it. And so, Lord, this morning, as people are holding their innermost, I ask you, bring a stirring in the innermost. I pray there come a flow, a fresh flow of living waters through each one of my brothers and sisters here. Cut it loose, Lord. Bring a new song in their heart. Bring a fresh language of prayer in their life. Open up new scriptures to them that will cause them to be excited and release that flow. Fresh flow of living waters in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Would you go to the book of Ephesians with me? So I wanted to share a couple of foundational stones, and then I wanted to go to a prayer that I was praying, and I often pray this prayer for local assemblies, and I've prayed this for this local church numerous times, Ephesians chapter 1. Kind of want to just break it open a little for you today and ask you that you make it a prayer. If you haven't already, make it a prayer for this local assembly. For a while now, I've been sharing with our people, I really believe this is a time for we as a church in America that we need to be reading the scriptures like we've never read the scriptures before. I understand that there's a lot of different things that are going on in all kinds of realms in our country, from the White House to Congress, the Supreme Court, to Hollywood, to military, education. You could just pick one thing after another and get disturbed about it. You could get maybe mad about it or worked up about it. But I want to say this to you. There's a lot of words of men that we can hear from day to day, from Fox News to the internet to you know what. You need to listen to the words of God. We need to listen to the words of God. And I want to encourage you as part of the church in America, go into the scriptures like you've never gone into the scriptures before. Pursue the Lord. Read his word. Please read his word. His word is what's going to strengthen you in this hour. His word is what's going to provide faith for you in these days and change the way you talk with people in our country. We need to talk differently. We need to be of a different spirit. The scriptures will help you to be of a different spirit. I understand that there is a spirit of division in our country. I read the news. I pray for our nation. There's all kinds of things that are going on. And there's divisiveness. There's all kinds of different things that are very, very disheartening. But there's something that will strengthen our heart. It's the Word of God. And we all need to be reading the Scriptures fervently together and in conversation. It ought to be the platform that you and I come from in our conversations with one another. So I share this prayer with you. And this is a prayer that I'm just going to, I believe, the Holy Spirit will help us embrace as a local assembly. It says, for this reason, I too, having heard of the faith in the Lord Jesus, which exists among you, and your love for all the saints. And I can sense that here, the faith that you have. And you have a love for God's people. Do not cease giving thanks for you, while making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. And I pray that that spirit of wisdom and revelation, I know it's here, that there'll be an increase of it all through the congregation. That you will make more and more of your decisions and choices out of wisdom. Wisdom from heaven, not wisdom from earth. Would you turn with me for a moment to James chapter 3? And the distinction between the two is very clear. The wisdom of man and the wisdom from heaven. James chapter, I believe it's chapter 3. The last part of it. It's just a very clear definition of wisdom. Interesting. It says, who among you is wise and understanding? Let him show by his good behavior his deeds in the gentleness of wisdom. But if you have bitter jealousy and selfish ambition in your heart, do not be arrogant, so lie against the truth. This wisdom is not that which comes down from above, but is earthly, natural, demonic. For where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, there is disorder and every evil thing. Isn't it interesting that the root of disorder is earthly wisdom? You talk about disarray that's in our country. And, you know, just maybe even in our neighborhoods. The root behind disorder is earthly wisdom. When you come into an atmosphere of order, when you come into an atmosphere of unity, of harmony, you have heavenly wisdom there. I'm a beekeeper. The only way a hive survives is perfect harmony. If any disorder comes into the hive, it weakens the hive, sets it up for some kind of bacteria, some kind of virus, and before you know it, by springtime, it is so weak, it usually dies. The strength of a church is found in heavenly wisdom. It will establish order among God's people. It will establish order in your personal life. If you have disarray, if you have any kind of disillusionment, if you have chaos going on in any area of your life, your money, your time, your social life, it's rooted in earthly wisdom. Spirit of wisdom comes from above. Pray wisdom into that situation, and the wisdom will change the whole entire atmosphere in your life. It'll change the atmosphere how you manage something in your life. It's very simple. God's provided wisdom to bring order, to bring harmony, and to bring peace. Same with a marriage. Same with a home. It's okay to read books and to find, you know, to get educated in things and how to parent your children, how to train your children. But if you have any kind of chaos going on in the child training, if you begin to pray wisdom, wisdom will bring order and just bring harmony and peace there. It might take a little time, but that's what happens, is that wisdom just brings, it's just like a healing and a atmosphere that just changes things in an amazing way. And you could do the same thing in our town. If this church operates in a spirit of wisdom, you can move into disorder and it will bring in harmony. It's probably what the Hope Center is going to be doing. It'll probably operate in such a way that where people are just whacked out in their life, they're just in war zones all over the place, and they walk in into this atmosphere, and you have this wisdom about you, and all of a sudden these people begin to take in this, what's happening here? And a peace comes into them. Heavenly wisdom is a tremendous, tremendous work of God. Okay, let's go back, and it says here, the spirit of revelation. Revelation is the work of the Spirit where it takes which is hidden and brings it out into the open for you to believe. You begin to see it. And I believe that this church is going to move more and more into vision and into destiny in these days. And you'll see together. Revelation, the spirit of revelation, will open up to you that which is hidden in the Scriptures, and it has to do with the plan of God, and it has to do with the will of God. It's some of what was expressed through Jasmine and how the Lord was working in her life and opening up, and the Lord just began to reveal to her and show her and the understanding that came of the call that's on her life. So the spirit of revelation, it says, so that you may know, so that you will know him in the knowledge of him. And that's what happens, is that we come into the true knowledge of who he is. And then he says, I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened. And so every one of us have eyes in our heart. It's like you have eyes here, you have eyes here. And so the Holy Spirit will open your eyes, bring light there for you to see into the unseen. It's an exciting walk with the Lord when you begin to walk with your eyes enlightened, so that you will, you see, the opening of your eyes will help you to know. We try to know here, but this is where you get to know. You get to know down here because of our eyes. The spiritual eyes bring us into spiritual knowledge. Number one, it says, so that you know the hope of his calling. There's a calling on every church. Once you come into the knowledge of that calling together, it's very exciting. If you're a newcomer here, you come in and you could tell people love the Lord and, you know, there's some direction here, but it takes usually a while for you to understand you just walked into a calling. You just don't know what it is. There's a calling in Friends of the Cross. One of our callings is children. And when we do something with children, it gets very exciting. When you get into the calling of what's here, you become part of that. God begins to fit you in. You begin to have this hope inside you because you realize this church has the calling of God on it. It's not an institution. It's not an organization. It's a living organism with a calling from heaven. And when part of the calling, obviously you can see it around in your walls, is to be a blessing to the nations. When you walk into the Friends of the Cross, you'll find we have a calling to the nations. Same thing, we have a calling to the nations. We are involved with all kinds of nations. We have missionaries come in. Every time they come in, they get blessed. They leave excited. They know we're behind them. We're supporting them. It's because it's part of our calling. We walk it out together. You see, where there's calling, there's faith. The calling just causes faith to arise. Now, number two, it says, not only do you know, but what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints? You begin to understand that this church has an inheritance. And so you walk out the inheritance together. It's who Jesus laid down his life for. There is inheritance in Leroy for this work here. And so as you get involved in it and fit into it, in the inheritance, you begin to understand there's a bigger picture than just you personally growing. Is that there is, God has raised up this local assembly to partake of an inheritance that has to do with eternal. It's exciting. You get involved with the big picture. And you'll hear things that all of a sudden, at times you go, yes. When Pastor Jack and Sandy begin to talk about a certain area that maybe is locked into the inheritance, and they might not use that term, but you hear it and something begins to well up in you. That's the Spirit of God getting you to partake of the inheritance that is of this church. And so that grows. Number three, and what is the surpassing greatness of his power toward us who believe? These are in accordance with the working of the strength of his might. That's what causes people to pray with fervency, because we believe in the power of the Lord. That's what makes prayer meetings and churches arise, because there is a power that's way beyond the physical and intellectual. It's the power of heaven. And when God's people pray, we begin to see the power of the Lord move. It's tremendous. Now it's the eyes of our heart that we come to know his power. You can't measure power in a human way. That's exciting to know that. We can't ever measure power. What we do is we trust in his power, and he does things way beyond what we ask and think. Hallelujah. Which he brought about in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the one to come. And he put all things in subjection under his feet and gave him his head over all things to the church, which is his body. We are his body, church. This prayer just highlights who we really are, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. I'll finish by going to a psalm. I want to give you this psalm. This psalm was given to me in the 90s for this church. An apostle came into our church years ago, spent a week with me, and he started coming every year for a while. But this first year he came, he said, I have this psalm for this church. And I have been praying from this psalm for years for you, because it was a foundational psalm the Lord gave me when I was here. It was a very strengthening psalm, Psalm 67. It was a word of wisdom that he gave to me from this psalm that I've learned how to pray from. And that is praying from the grace of God God is so gracious to us. I'm going to ask you to stand. I'm going to pray this over you. Psalm 67, it's okay if you want to hold your Bible out. And I pray that as I pray this psalm just gets sealed in your heart as words of faith for this church. And it also opens up to you even more your knowledge of God our Father, how He loves you, how He had you all in mind before you made a decision to follow His Son. He had you in mind. And He has this grace flowing from the throne, this marvelous grace. And you can pray this often for one another. As I say, Father, God, be gracious to us and bless us. And cause Your face to shine upon us. Cause Your face to shine upon this work, Lord. Cause Your face to shine upon this work. That Your way may be known on the earth. That Your way may be known in Leroy, all through this area, and Your salvation among all nations. I pray, Father, that You would make this church a blessing to the nations more than ever. A blessing to this town of Leroy and Genesee County more than ever. Let the peoples praise You, O God. Let all the peoples praise You all over the area. Let the nations be glad and sing for joy. For You will judge the peoples with uprightness and guide the nations on the earth. Let the peoples praise You, O God. Let all the peoples praise You. The earth has yielded its produce. Father, I pray that there would be even a greater harvest for this church in these days. May it turn more and more into a church of harvest. More and more of a church of harvest. More laborers for the harvest. I pray for more laborers for the harvest from this work. More and more laborers. I pray that labor awaken in the hearts of Your people here to see the harvest in these days. I pray that You would send many people to the nations from this work. God, our God, blesses us. God blesses us that all the ends of the earth may fear Him. May these be days we all learn how to walk in His blessing together. We walk in His blessing together. We are so blessed. We are so blessed, church. Oh, we are so blessed. We are so blessed. Just keep your eyes closed for a moment and just focus on Him. I had something unusual happen to me yesterday. I went out archery hunting with Jasmine for a little while, and because I'd gotten up early in the morning, I ran out of gas. I was the empty tank, and so I saw this hay wagon out in a hedgerow, and I decided to crawl up into it, and I fell asleep up there on this hill, and I was sleeping, and when I woke up, it was like I was refreshed, and about 5 to 10 minutes, I started praying for somebody here in this church. I don't know who you are, but I started praying for you, and the Lord, the word that came to me was restore. Oh, Lord, restore. Restore the joy of salvation to this person, Lord. And I saw myself. I don't even know who it was, but I had my hands around this person, And I felt like I was almost like a father to a daughter or a father to a son, and I was holding this person. And as I was praying, restore, God was just restoring that person. Now, if that's you, I'm going to pray for you, or maybe there's a few of you. I believe the Lord wants to restore the joy of salvation to your life. Now, I did not ask Jasmine today what she was sharing. I decided the easiest way to just keep this thing from connecting the two of us, and you know what I'm saying, where we put something together. I had no idea she was going to talk about joy. And she had no idea that I had this vision. I decided not to tell her about it. But I knew that the Holy Spirit was in it. And I know that if you're that person or the few people here, if you'll just reach out to the Lord right now, just take this, what I'm talking about. And there was two things I said to this person in this vision that I had. First one is, just admit this is you. Before the Lord, you can just do this in your private time here right now. Just admit this is you. And then second of all, confess anything you need to confess to him right now. And God's going to forgive you. And he's going to break this thing that's had a hold on you for who knows how long. And he's going to restore your joy right now. So just do that. Just say, Lord, that's me. He's talking about me. And then just whatever it is that's keeping you before you and God, I want you to just confess it before him right now and just receive cleansing. The Lord's cleansing you right now, and he's going to remove everything that's been holding you back. And now he's going to begin to restore. Father, I pray in the name of Jesus that you would restore the joy of salvation. I pray that there would be a fresh bubbling brook of joy now welling up. It will be one of the first signs of your work, of your spirit inside. My brother, my sister, just do it right now, Lord. In Jesus' name. And so, Lord, I pray just a release now of fresh water flowing out of our innermost in this house. Thank you for what's flowing here already. Thank you for the work of your cross that's going on in this place already. I pray increase in this house as they walk together from the same place, the cross. They walk that out together. And Lord, I pray as they would believe in you and look to you to be springs of living water throughout this whole entire land. Turn them into people, Lord, that will hand out much fresh water to the thirsty people of this land in these days. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Amen. So good to be with you. You're wonderful people. Yeah. Amen.